Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Stuardo, and welcome to Foodomania. Sorry for a slight delay in our broadcast today. We had some technical issues, which are now resolved. Welcome to today's show. Today is the Skagit Surprise Show. And basically, this subject matter today is to try to prepare and to actually prepare a food that has been harvested and put together just a couple of miles from your house, which is really something that most people say sometimes if the food that you eat literally comes from exactly where you are and within a couple of miles, it always refers to having the nutrients and all the freshness that's really within your reach. And I love that concept. In the old days, these days, people, if they have a little backyard chicken set up where they're making their own eggs, where they're helping create their own eggs, actually, they might have a small garden, a place where you're growing some of your own food. If you are fortunate enough to have a place where you're raising your own, if you eat meat, and if you're raising your own cows or pigs or that sort of thing, basically the original mentality and the thought of being, on a farm and having all the food and everything from milk to chickens to eggs to vegetables to fruit at your own disposal. And that's really the idea of today's show. And that's what I'm thinking. We're going to have the ability to just go out our door and within 5 miles or so of where we are, come up with food that and an incredible meal that is literally in our own backyard. Now, some people in some places that you live might not have that access. You may have live in an urban environment where your closest reach is to be able to buy things and prepare things that you buy in local markets and stores that are close to your house. And that's fine too, because in a lot of cases these days, people have materials and things that they can get in the stores for cooking that literally are available locally. So I know, for instance, there's a market within just a mile or less of where I live that I can go and get things that literally were grown and produced right in the area within a couple of miles. And that's the whole idea today. So being that we're so lucky and that we live in the Pacific Northwest right here, and we're doing our show from Northwest Washington today, there's a lot of incredible things at my disposal. And I always center the meal. I'm centered what I'm doing specifically on what's fresh and what's local. And the old adage, when I was growing up, for instance, in Brooklyn, and we'd go to the local market, and behind the counter was usually a gentleman who was, an Eastern European background who accumulated beautiful things in his store that you could purchase, and lots of it was, local, even in Brooklyn. And what I mean by that is the things that were brought in were prepared from scratch. The butcher shops were harvesting a delivery of things that they got from a farm, possibly in upstate New York. And they would do all the cutting and all the preparing of that specific meat right on the spot. So if you're ordering a chicken, generally, you'd have to stand by, and during the course of your order, within a couple of minutes, you would hear that proverbial sound of the block and of a little bit of cackling. And for the most part, within 10 minutes you would have a fresh chicken put together by your choice. Kind of scary. Lots of times, same thing with the fish. In the early hours of the morning, fish would be delivered from the local fisherman, fishmonger, usually came in off a boat to one of the major fish markets and then scattered through the five boroughs of New York to the distributors, but usually things literally brought in that same day. All right. I'm thinking of heading down to one of the local fish markets where they promised to be able to give us things that are local. And I thought we would start our meal off this morning with our preparation of our meal this morning with an assortment of some fresh shellfish. And I see that they have locally here is some really, really beautiful, what they call Pen Cove mussels, which is from an area called Pen Cove, which is about 4 or 5 miles from where we're standing right now. And the mussels are looking pretty nice. And I can go get a pound or two of those. And let's talk about what to do with those. I'm taking these mussels and basically putting them under some water and giving them a little rinse. Now, the mussels all have something called a beard. And if you're holding an individual mussel right between my fingers, I'm feeling kind of a furry-looking sort of roughness coming out of the side of the mussel. And that is basically the guts of the mussel. That is something that stays with specifically with the mussel and in the harvest. And we're going to do something basically called removing the beard of that mussel. And in this case, we're going to take that off. And you can usually tug it right on the bottom of it and give it a really nice little pull right there, and it'll come right off. And we're going to go ahead and take our pound or so of mussels and do that and remove all the beards. Then what I do a little further in some cases, carefully, I have a little fish brush, and I'm going to under the rinse, warm water, excuse me, not too warm, but just slightly warm, I'm going to take a and give it one more rinse. Take the brush and brush any of the little barnacles and the things off the side of the mussels. Now I'm just going to use water. I'm not going to use any kind of cleaner or anything on the mussels. And I'm going to go ahead and set all these nice, beautiful, clean mussels in the bowl and just keep them aside a little bit. And I'm going to take a little bit of ice and put them over the top while we prepare our cooking method. Now I'm going to take a saute pan, fairly deep. It's about a 4-inch saute pan. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put halfway filled with some water. I'm going to take a bay leaf, 4 garlic cloves, a little bit of local fresh thyme, and I have some basil coming out of the ear pot right here. I'm going to go ahead and take the basil that I have and go ahead and stick that in there as well. And between the basil and the assorted herbs here, I'm going to go ahead and place my mussels into this mixture. Now, to take it a little further, what I like to do is take a half a cup of fish stock, and in this case today, I'm using a little bit of clam juice. I like to take a whole lemon and cut it in quarters, give it all a little squeeze, and just put the whole lemon right into the mixture. So you have that as well. The garlic cloves with the lemon and all these herbs and a little bit of fish stock. And go ahead, and I'm going to put a lid over the top. I'm going to turn on the heat very, very low and let those start to prepare. Now, once the water starts boiling, once it starts happening, you will have not a lot of time until I open. And I'm going to make us a little bit of a really, really nice sauce for this. Now, I got a cup and a half of cream that I got from a local dairy right here. I'm going to go ahead and take that cream, and I'm going to put that into a separate saucepan and turn on the heat just a little bit. Now, I'm going to take, today we're going to make just a really cool little sauce for this. I'm going to take a little bit of curry powder, about 1/3 teaspoon, and go ahead and put that into the cream. Give it a little stir with a little whisk, and then I'm going to take about a third of a stick of butter, because we're going for it today. I'm going to go ahead and put that in there as well. little bit of salt and pepper. And all of a sudden, the cream is starting to turn that really nice yellow curry sort of look. I'm going to take a little teeny weeny bit of crushed red pepper flakes, just a little bit. Put those in there as well. Now, what we're going to do is just let that come to a little teeny bit of a blip, so to speak, and it's going to give a little heat to it, and we're going to start stirring it slightly, and it's going to start thickening. Now, what I like to do is take a little teeny bit of a tablespoon of a fresh Parmesan cheese and go ahead and put that in there and give it a good stir. And it is getting thick now. It's getting really, really nice. Now I'm hearing a little bit of boiling, and I'm looking under the lid carefully to watch that steam release. And I'm seeing the mussels are looking beautiful. All right. It looks like they're opening, and they're just perfect. The sauce is looking good. I'm going to turn the heat off that. Now I'm going to take a really nice bowl, and I'm going to take each mussel with a pair of tongs, and I'm going to design it, so I'm going to go around and circle clockwise. I'm going to actually put the mussel on its side, opening to the top, and I can see that gorgeous color. Oh, my gosh, beautiful color of the mussel. And that's going to make a beautiful design, and the mussel that I have, I'm going to fit absolutely lovely into this bowl. Now, piece de resistance, I'm going to take a small ladle, and I'm going to take a small ladle, quarter-inch size ladle, and go ahead and take a bit of that sauce, beautiful sauce, and drizzle it over that mussel. Oh, my gosh, they're looking great. And we're going to take a little teeny bit of, a little bit of lemon, squeeze a little bit more over the top. Go ahead and take your fork and pull the mussel out of the shell. Gorgeous, and go ahead and taste one of those babies. Oh my God, nectar of the gods. Mussels, beautiful dish that just came literally 5 miles away from the house. Cream is local. The only thing in this dish really that didn't come from within the close range of 5 miles is the lemon. I know the lemon. This specific lemon has come from Southern California, but beautiful nonetheless. All right, so we have our beautiful curried mussel dish as our appetizer, and it came just from here. Incredible. All right, now we're going to go over to a dairy, which is really close by. It's called the Skagit Dairy, and they make their own cheese. And we're going to go ahead and pick it out, and I'm looking here in this case. I'm seeing some really, really fresh cheese, and I have this place to myself, so there's really nobody I can ask any questions to because it's early in the morning. Nobody's here yet. But I see a really, really beautiful, what looks like a homemade mozzarella. It looks pretty firm. It's in a ball. Let's go ahead and get some of that. Sounds good. All right, I'm also going to get a little small brick of this fresh Parmesan cheese that they make themselves. It looks really nice. And also there's some smoked Gouda. Let's get a little bit of that. And a really nice little hunk of brie. And they make all these cheeses here themselves. Now, you can check in where you live. more of these home-style dairies are popping up, and more of these cheesemakers are popping up all over the place. And even if it's a specific market that you really, really like to go to, in a lot of cases, they will have on display cheeses that come from local people. And it's becoming sort of an art kind of thing to be able to do that, where you can absolutely have cheeses that are, crafted locally. All right, I'm going to move along here, and they have a little produce section. This is all harvested locally, and, of course, in the Washington area where we live, it's the potato capital. Literally, they have more of the red potatoes. And it's the largest producer, actually, in the world of these red potatoes. And let's go ahead and get a couple of pounds of those. There's some local Vidalia sweet onions. Grab a couple of those as well. And, wow, it's looking pretty good. So we have some beautiful, incredible cheese. We have potatoes. We have some onions. Now, back in our kitchen, I'm going to take this fresh mozzarella, and we're going to do something really enjoying it. Now, I've picked up the last of the tomatoes from the garden, and we're going to take first thing with these small saucepan. We're going to take those tomatoes, cut the ends off. We're going to submerge them in some boiling water just for about 2 minutes. And as I do that, I'm going to go ahead and take some of these herbs again, some of the fresh basil, oregano and thyme, and give it a good chop here and get them all ready for this incredible mixture. I've gotten some, some local bread that is baked here within another mile or so of where our kitchen is. And I got that yesterday. I got some leftovers. I'm taking a half of this really, really loaf of this beautiful artisan French bread. I'm cutting it into some chunks. I'm going to go ahead and put it in the food processor, and we're going to make our own breadcrumbs from it. So I'll go ahead and done that. So I have about a cup and a half of locally homemade breadcrumbs. I got 2 eggs from right down the street, just beautiful eggs that were laid early this morning. So these are virtually right out of chicken. Go ahead and take the 2 eggs and a little bit of that leftover cream that I have from the dairy and make a little mixture there. I'm going to take my fresh mozzarella and I'm putting it into a colander and just straining all the excess liquid off. And I'm going to slice this beautiful ball into 3 pieces. It ends up being about a little over half an inch thick by about 4 inches by about 3 inches. So really nice round. I'm going to take a little bit of flour, which comes from the organic granary, right about 4 miles away from here, and dip the fresh mozzarella in the flour, then a little bit in the egg, and then into these homemade breadcrumbs I just made. And I'm going to go ahead and do that with about 6 slices. And I'm going to set those on a plate right here. I have over some ice to keep them cold. Now, let's get the tomatoes out of the water. I could easily, carefully remove these and pull off the skin and drain them a little bit. And I've taken the skin off. Now I've taken this beautiful tomato pulp. I'm putting it in a pan. Use whisk to just crush them a little bit by hand, make them a little chunky. Go ahead and I'll take a little bit of that fresh herb mixture that I just chopped up and put that in there. A tablespoon of local honey from bees that are right here, and into the mixture, a little bit of salt and pepper and those herbs, and go ahead and turn that on and let that, you know, warm up a little bit. It's going to go ahead and turn into this beautiful pomodoro pilate really quick. Now, I got another pan set up with about a half an inch of really simple, clean, fresh, refilled vegetable oil. I'm going to turn that on and get that to the point where it's not too overheated, medium heat till it heats up really nice. And the test is I'm going to take a little bit of this fresh breadcrumb. I'm going to just drop them into the oil, see what happens. All right, it's starting to bubble a little bit. And we're going to carefully take our slices of mozzarella and go ahead and put them into the oil. And that sauce is looking really, really good. It gives it another little stir. It's really fresh. Literally, we just made it in the last couple of minutes. Go ahead, and it's warm enough. Turn it off while the mozzarella is cooking. It's getting really golden brown. All right, beautiful. So let's go ahead and flip it over onto the other side. And it's really, really cooking actually quick. Maybe a little too much heat here. We'll lower that. And, oh, great. Okay, we have this beautiful golden mozzarella cheese. Mozzarella fresca. All right, I'm going to take a little bit of, just thyme and carefully use the slotted spoon I have and get under it and go ahead and lift it up and let all the excess oil. And then carefully, I have a little paper towel. I'm just going to pat it a little bit to get the extra oil off. All right, I'm going to take a little bit of my sauce and put it on a plate. Just a little couple of lines of it on this plate. I'm going to take this beautiful fresh mozzarella, beautifully fried, put it over the sauce, and then take another spoonful or two of sauce and put that over the top, let it drizzle over the top. Oh, incredible. All right, take a fork. I can literally hear the noise when the fork touches this crispy exterior of this fried mozzarella. Give it a little, you know, cut here. Oh, my gosh, and the mozzarella is virtually staying together but oozing. Taking a bite of this. It's almost too good. All right, so we have that fresh, beautiful, local mozzarella made close, and these tomatoes right out of the garden, as well as the herbs, the local breadcrumbs that we made from a loaf really close by. Wow. All right, while I'm absolutely enjoying this, let me tell you what you can do with those potatoes. I got some golden ones and some red ones. Check this out.
One of the things I miss about the East Coast is the abundant amount of street food readily available on almost every street corner. When I grew up, there were really lots of choices. And, of course, in a multicultural area, sometimes you'll get a wonderful sausage sandwich. Of course, you see the hot dogs. What I remember, though, more than anything, is a little teeny man with a pushcart, stainless steel, rolling down the street saying, "Hot Knishes, Hot Knishes." That's spelled K-N-I-S-H, Knish. Now, knish is a staple of Eastern Europe. It's a potato-based dumpling, though you can also put lots of other fillings in it. I'm going to tell you how to make a very simple potato knish. Get 6 Yukon Gold potatoes, peel them well, and boil them. Get 1 very large sweet onion and dice it up and sauté it in a bit of butter until it's golden brown. Add 1 cup of matzah meal, or as I like to call it, Jewish breadcrumbs. Get 3 eggs and a fresh bunch of spinach, clean well and diced and cut into small pieces. Get a large bowl and do the following. Boil your potatoes until they're soft, drain them well, and put them in a large bowl. Take the cup of matzo meal and your sautéed onions and add it to the mixture. Stir it really well. At this point in time, put a teaspoon of ground pepper. That's right, a teaspoon of fresh ground pepper and about a third of a teaspoon of salt. Mix that together. Now, you want to take about a half a stick of butter and melt it down to liquid and pour it into the mixture. Mix it all together. Take 4 eggs, beat them slightly before you add them to the mix, and then dump them into the bowl. Put your hands in there and mix it all together and get it to the consistency until it forms almost like about a 3-pound hamburger. When you do that and it's not sticking too much to your hands, place them on a sheet pan. Take a little bit of egg and water and mix it together. You're going to be making an egg wash, and take a pastry brush and brush the top of it with this egg. Stick it in an oven at about 350, and in 15 minutes it'll start turning golden brown. When that happens, rotate the pan completely 180 degrees and give them about another 10 minutes. You'll know they're done when they're beautifully golden brown, and you have a potato knish. Now, the best thing to have with a knish is some nice stone ground mustard. That's right, mustard. Put a little bit on the potato on the end and take a bite. You'll love it. You'll be in heaven. And the people around you will probably say, "Hey, give me a knish." Well, you know, you can figure out how to do that. I know you're going to love this potato knish. This is Chef Stuardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat.
All right, I'll tell you what. That's a really good recipe. You'll love using your local potatoes for that. Now, let me let you know a couple of things. I'm going pretty quick here. If, in fact, you liked any of the recipes you're hearing, here's what you do. Write me at Chef Stuardo, Chef Stuarto at hotmail.com. And what's going to happen, you're going to get in the mail beautiful, absolutely incredible recipe to make you your mouth water and to have you prepare all this stuff. You know, you can also tune into www.ksvr.org. So it's KSVR, www.ksvr.org. On Friday nights between 8 and 10, and Monday and Tuesday between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, right here in that specific time. And I can answer your food questions there. I'll be on the air all week. It's a great radio station. And you can listen to that weekly. And then on Sunday nights at 8:30, make sure you also tune into my other show, Kitchen Cuisine, which is all about food and on all the time. And you'll love that. You'll absolutely enjoy it. And I hope that you'll join me there. You know, Foodomania is one of those wonderful experiences that everybody can have every day because, you know, like anything else, it's something that we eat, have to do every day. We have to eat. And in most cases, literally going local, going within just a couple of miles of your house. You can ask questions. You can find some of the greatest things, even if you live in the city. It's really something that you have no problem ever doing to just be able to open your mouth and ask the wonderful purveyor of food that is close by what you can eat today and what is fresh and what, you know, you can have and never be afraid to do that. You know, in most cases, you know, I can spend 2 hours on the show talking locally. So we've got some beautiful local mussels that we made, which is a beautiful picture. If you get on Facebook and go to Chef Stuardo's Foodomania, you'll see a picture of the dish that we just cooked. And I'm sure you will want to go out and do it. All these recipes are available immediately. All you have to do is message me at the Chef Stuardo's Foodomania Facebook page, and you'll get back instantaneously a shopping list and ingredients and instruction list on exactly how to prepare the dish that we just talked about. Really want to thank you all for listening today. Look forward to doing more of this. Think about local and think about things that, you know, when you eat on a daily basis, virtually coming from right wherever you are, whether you're in downtown Manhattan, whether you're in the country, you can always find something that somebody has put their time and energy and care into to grow and to produce for your enjoyment. I want to say to any of our listeners that are back east that are experiencing recovery efforts from Hurricane Sandy, I hope you're doing okay and hanging in there, and your families are doing the best they can and being safe. Thanks for listening today to my great, I guess it's great, I say that humbly but proud way, concept of being able to eat locally and eating stuff close by. Look forward to continuing this. And we are going to do part two of the eating locally, harvesting and picking something that's really close by for you next week as well. So make sure you join us. Please write me. Please tell me what's going on. And we'll have a surprise show in your neck of the woods anytime soon. You'll be able to be part of that as well. Have a good day.
Nothing I